Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 34. The Bible reads, "And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes," as one person pronounces this, "there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him," the Lord, "saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Demons are always seeking to invade somebody or something. "And he said unto them, Go, period. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them," that is the swine, "fled and went their ways into the city, and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts." And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing the story of Jesus and the graveyard demoniacs. And there are some devils and demons loose today. Part 3, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 622, since January 20th, 2017. Day 989, since January the 1st, 2016. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you glory, praise, and honor for allowing things to be as well as they are. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this very eventful day. And with many twists and turns. And we thank you for allowing us to successfully get things done and make it back for this meeting. And to keep my word to preach the gospel each and every day during this time frame. Have mercy and grace upon us for Jesus Christ's sake, and please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And Lord, we pray that you would empty us of ourselves, crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the power and the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In spite of ailments and in spite of satanic attacks, give me sweet victory and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil where we are sick or torn down in any way. We pray that you'd heal us and build us back up. Give us your grace and your strength, the power of your Holy Spirit to preach and to hear your holy word. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in our last message we considered the effects of demon possession of human beings. The demons had driven these two Gadarene outcasts into death spiritually and near death physically. And that's what the devil will do to you. That's what the devil is doing to people across this country and around the globe. And may I say to you that when a person is pushed to pull a gun or some kind of weapon by the devils of hell, this is a very serious matter. When people, when a person is pushed by demons to kill himself, this is a very serious matter, and we should never in this culture of death in our country, in our society, just accept it as something that is normal, as sad to say, as some people in the church are doing today. In light of the proverbial boiling of the frog, many Christians are being boiled to death today. Many pastors, many churches, many people. We're seeing with our very eyes today the falling away of the church. When Jesus Christ is the light of the world and all about life, the resurrection and the life, who overcame death, raised from the dead, and we have pastors who represent him today in churches, say it's okay for people to commit suicide, don't worry about their souls, they're going to heaven. I'm not sure about that. I can't join that band. I don't want to even try something so ridiculous. Neither should you. No, it is not okay. If you're hearing voices in your mind, listen to me very carefully. Hear me well. If you're hearing voices in your depressed mind to kill yourself, that is not God. That is not Jesus. That is not the Holy Spirit of God. That is the devil and his demons. And I have to preach it like that and say it like that because there are thousands of folks who are hearing these voices. Somebody is hearing it tonight. They are alone in their bed. They don't have nobody, as the song says. They used to have somebody, but they're gone. And the devil is telling them, what's the use in living? Why don't you just go ahead and take some extra pills tonight and you won't wake up. And the devil will tell you that you'll wake up in the arms of Jesus, and that's a lie to hell. We never accepted anything like that. Ever since Judas killed himself, the church has never been about suicide. Excuse me. That's demonic theology. Be that as it may, the demons also separated them from their families, friends, and communities, and their churches, if you will. If the devil, if you're constantly hearing something and sensing something, that you ought to leave your Bible-believing church and leave the church altogether, like so many millions have heard and have done. That's the devil talking to you. If your family is a good, godly, Christian family, but not a perfect family, and the devil is, and you're hearing voices telling you to separate from them, and they, all they're doing is trying to love you and help you, that's the devil talking to you. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get you out there on the beach by yourself and convince you to kill yourself or to kill somebody else or to drown out in the sea and never be seen again, or to commit some ungodly act that you will never recover from. I tell you that there's a devil loose. Both of these effects are present in the lives of those influenced by demons today. Spiritual death or at least spiritual stagnation, and quite often physical destruction and physical death. Demonic activity is also a major contributor to divisions in families. Nobody wants to accept it. Everybody wants to talk about going to counseling. Let me tell you something. Bless your heart. Very few families are going to be helped by counseling. 9 times out of 10, the husband knows what he's doing wrong, the wife knows what she's doing wrong, and they're both not obeying the Bible found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. There's a devil loose seeking to destroy your marriage and your family. I said it last night, I'll say it again, wasn't it beautiful to see the Bush family showing up and showing out by the grace of God through love and through tough love? It was a beautiful sight. Are they perfect? No, but it was a beautiful sight. The patriarch and his wife, the matriarch, they both finished their course, married 70 plus years, when most people don't live to 70. They were married 70 plus years. What an example they set for their sons and their daughters who are married and they are staying with their first and only spouse. Yes, today you got to, when you tell people something or you're trying to get a job or whatever, you have to tell people, I'm married to my first and only wife. I'm married to my first and only husband. Or you got to give them a date when you got married. It got to be back in the 80s for them to believe you. And they want to see some children that come out of that as well. Because today, ladies and gentlemen, people don't believe you. Listen to me very carefully. People don't believe you when you tell them you've been married for 30 years, as my wife and I have been married 30 years by the grace of God. Heck, I hardly believe it myself. It's amazing what God has done. God can do it. He will do it if you pray to Him. Yes, the family that prays together somehow stays together. I cannot explain it to you, but it happens. And you better pray together, because the devil will tear you apart. That's what he specializes in. He wants division. Demonic activity is also a major contributor to divisions in families, in churches, in communities, and in nations. In Scripture, Satan is described as a sower of discord among the brethren. And if you're a person who likes discord, you like mess, you like division, you like arguing and all of that kind of foolishness, and there are people that way, I guarantee you the devil is somewhere in your life. The devil is working in your life if you like division and accusations and fighting and arguing. And there are families that specialize in this. And don't you tell me that's not the case. I've been around them. Many of us were raised around argumentative Negroes. Folks who will find anything to argue about and get mad. And will tell you with a straight face, if you don't agree with me, I'll cut you. Oh, yes. You know Cassius Clay wasn't as good as Joe Frazier? Oh, yes, he was. He beat him twice. No, that was a fake. That was a fake. That was and right there on the front porch, we're supposed to be having a barbecue with family. Folks are fighting over who's the best, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. Back in the day. We hear today about people arguing over stupid stuff. A lady in the checkout line the other day passed gas, and the person behind the lady was just pitching a fit about it, that this lady just had the audacity to pass gas in public. And like she didn't do it, and he just went off and so forth, and she pulled a knife and stabbed him. There's a devil loose, people. People are slapping people and stabbing people and shooting people and taking out bats and beating people for nothing. There's a devil loose. The next thing we notice about the demons who possessed these men is that Jesus is not a stranger to them. And they are aware that their time is limited. When Jesus steps foot on the shore, the demons cry out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God, we know who you are." And all the demons of the world know who Jesus is. Therefore, dear Christian friend, you should not fear what the devil can do and what demons can do. Because they fear Jesus. Sad to say, they fear Jesus more than you do. And they know it. And that's why they enter into your life when you open up the door for them through sin and whoredom and rebelliousness and stubbornness, bad attitudes, pornography, lying, dishonesty, and deceit, and all kinds of sins. The demons of hell can see you don't fear God. They fear God more than you do. And you're in the church. You're supposed to be a Christian. And they say, I got this one. Listen to this. Look at this one over here. I got this one. He over there looking at pornography. He down at the whorehouse. He down at the club. I know I can get him. He don't fear God. He's a homosexual. Look at him. But he claiming to be a Christian. We got his soul. We're going to get him. And we're going to expose him. If he doesn't do what we tell him, we're going to expose him. How did the demons know Jesus? They knew him as part of the triune Godhead whom they had served in eternity past before they joined Satan's rebellion against God. Are you a rebellious person? Do you hate authority? Are you stubborn? Are you mean? Are you hateful? Do you despise being told what to do? Maybe you have a demon. Because that's what demons are about. They're in rebellion. They're in constant rebellion against God. That's what the devil is about. If you like rebelliousness and stubbornness, and you like being around a disobedient person instead of an obedient person, calling them a goody two shoes and all that kind of thing, the devil may be driving you right on to hell. And so, ladies and gentlemen, they remembered being defeated, that is, the devils, and cast out of heaven with the devil. At the moment, they were troubling the earth and stirring up man against God, but they knew that there is a set date when their time of freedom, if you will, would be over. That is why they questioned Jesus. And they asked him, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" We know that our day is coming. And do you know that most criminals know their day is coming? There are some who are so demon possessed they don't understand, but there are many criminals are relieved even after 5, 10, 15, 20 years when they are finally arrested for their crime, for their evil. All people and all demonic beings know they are wrong and that they are in rebellion against rebelliousness against God, and that their time of judgment is coming. In Revelation, John speaks of Satan, the great dragon, coming down to earth, breathing out wrath and fury against God's people. Some of that is happening today, I believe, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. You ask any Christian who is doing these things, and they'll tell you that somebody is trying to destroy them. If you're praying without ceasing, if you're witnessing at every opportunity, trying to lead someone to Christ or to invite them to church, if you're trying to disciple other young Christians, anything along those lines, if you're helping with that at all, The devil's going to be on you like white on rice and black on me, and that's on you. Real tight. He's not going to lay down and let you do that. Because you're messing up his plan and his strategy. John MacArthur said they knew Jesus was their divine antagonist, if you will, and that he had full power and authority to destroy them at will. By their question, they acknowledged that they knew there was a divinely appointed time not yet come when he would indeed judge them and punish them with eternal damnation. Their day is coming. The demons' eschatology, like the rest of their theology, was factually correct. As James tells us, the demons also believe and shudder. They shudder because their belief is that of recognition, but not acceptance, and they fully realize the consequence of rejecting God Almighty. And Jesus Christ, by the way, is God. The fact that there is an appointed time when God will rid the world of demonic influence is good news for us who are believers in Christ. Amen, somebody. It ought to be good news to your soul and to your heart and to your mind. Don't you worry your little head. After a while, by and by, I'm sure God was thinking about this when he said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'll deal with these devils. I'll deal with these demons. I'll deal with the devil himself." Don't you worry about it. You just look to me and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll hear and answer your cry. And I'll protect you. And I'll get you through. And you'll understand it by and by. Amen, somebody. Father alone will understand it. Father alone will know why. And ladies and gentlemen, this reminds us that God is in control. So you don't need to be worried. You don't need to be fretting. You don't need to be scared. God is in control. My son who helps me with these sermons, Daniel White IV, he wanted me to share with you the hymn, "This Is My Father's World." He knows that's one of my favorite hymns. But God told me to override them today and come up with something else I'm going to share with you in a minute. We sing it many Sunday mornings around here. God is in control. Even when it may not seem like he is, even when it seems as though devils run rampant through the earth, influencing people to live in heinous manners and do ungodly things, sowing the seeds of death and discord. The devil has but a short time to wreak his havoc. And I assure you, he is taking every opportunity he can to wreak havoc. He's not sleeping. Someone said a long time ago that the devil does not take vacations. And we see this if we open our eyes. If we would open our eyes, we see this around every holiday. The devil does not, listen to me very carefully, as long as you're serving God, as long as you're praying without ceasing, you're having family devotions, you're going to the church to pray at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're reading the Bible, you're sharing the gospel, you're inviting folks to church, you're trying to get people saved, you're trying to disciple young Christians, you're teaching a class, as long as you're doing stuff like that, the devil is going to fight you. He will never sleep. He will never take a break. He will never take a vacation. He has no vacations penciled in to his schedule. He's waiting for you to take a vacation, a so-called retreat, so he can pounce on you and your family and destroy you on the retreat so that you can't even come back to fight him where you were fighting him. And I get tickled at how we have all of these retreats, whole properties and lands given over to retreat for Christians, where they retreat back into the woods and they powwow with each other and sing Humbaya. And the last thing on earth the church needs to do is retreat. Amen, somebody. Whatever happened to onward Christian soldiers holding up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ? And so, ladies and gentlemen, the devil knows and fears the name of Jesus. You don't have to worry about a thing. Now, he doesn't fear you, but he fears Jesus and he fears his name. The devil may very well have his crooked fingers in a family member right there in your household, and I believe he does. I know he does. In a friend who is a Judas. In a family member who is a Judas. Right there in your church. There are many pastors who are loving and caring. And they love to a fault. And they get set up by Judases in the church. Tares going with the wheat. Even you might have a devil. He depresses and oppresses, clouds the minds of the saints with darkness and gloom and depression. Some people have been depressed for 30 days. They don't see any sunlight. And I don't see how you can live in North Texas and be depressed. We have beautiful blue skies here in Texas. I don't know how you can be depressed, but many people are. And they'll peek out the window, see the blue skies. You know what they'll do? They'll pull their black curtains right on down to continue their moping, pity party, and depression. That's exactly where the devil wants you. And oftentimes we are depressed, distressed, defeated, and disgusted. The devil is egging us on because we're that way because we have committed sins in God's sight. We have been disobedient, stubborn, and rebellious. And we're suffering the consequences of our sins, and the devil is beating us up and beating you up and saying, look at you, see what you did. You're out there committing fornication. You're out there committing adultery. Look at you. You're looking at pornography, masturbating while you're looking at pornography with a hood on your head. Look at what you're doing, and you call yourself a Christian. But he will not always win. And ultimately, he will not win at all. The world may lie in the lap of the wicked one, according to the word of God today, but this is our Father's world. That's my son putting that in there. He knows that's one of my favorite songs. And just as Jesus cast the devils out of the Gadarene demoniacs, he will cast the devil out of his world one day. And in closing, I love what Martin Luther wrote so many years ago. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Doest ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devil's field should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us are strangely sick and not feeling well. Some of us went to the doctor today. We've got to go back tomorrow. Lord, you know, have mercy and grace upon us all. Forgive us of our sins. Crucify our flesh, the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to stand until we die. For in light of all of the funerals that are happening, we're reminded of an old saying we used to say some 40 years ago. Only one life to live, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so, Lord, when we're lying cold in that pine box, as George H.W. Bush was over the past few days, and now he's 6 feet under, Lord, we pray that you would prepare us for good days and bad days ahead. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death in every way. And Lord, help us to die well. And help us to die, if we're going to die, and not go in the rapture, having completed the calling and the task that you've laid upon us, in spite of what the devil has done against us and to us and to our families. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil through prayer, through the reading and meditating on and obeying of your holy word. For your glory, praise, and honor, we pray now for the salvation of lost souls around the world and for the revival of Christians everywhere. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our body goes to the grave like George H.W. Bush's did today. And our soul goes to hell if we never trust Christ as Savior, or to heaven if we do trust Christ as Savior. Speaking of hell, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us, not because he hates us. He said in Matthew 10:28, in the Holy Bible, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place, whether you accept that or not. Your unbelief, your lack of acceptance will not change the fact that hell exists. If jail exists, hell exists. And hell is a bad situation. Hell is bad news. It includes outer darkness. It includes weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It includes constantly burning but never burning up. It includes an agonizing, painful memory where you will remember everybody who tried to get you to trust Christ as Savior. And there's nothing more painful than memory. So hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with God and with Jesus. This is good news because we don't deserve it. We deserve to burn in hell forever. This is good news because we're reminded that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to become the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world so that we can go free and go freely into heaven, that beautiful place that we don't deserve. George H.W. Bush lived a good life by everybody's statements and remembrances, but he was not a perfect man. He admitted it himself. He was a sinner like the rest of us. He had to trust Christ as Savior, and according to his own testimony, he did. And he's in heaven right now. He's been in heaven for several days with his wife, Barbara, and with their baby daughter, Robin, who died because of their faith in Jesus Christ, not because of their good works. Your good works will never save you. Faith in Christ will. So just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. It's a beautiful thing. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that, my dear friends. Going to church is good, but church membership will not save your soul. Going to church will not save your soul. There are many people who are going to die right from the church pews and bust hell wide open. And we all know that to be true. Some of the biggest hypocrites in the world go to church all the time. Church membership will not save you. Getting baptized will not save you. Being Christian as a child will not save you. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings, but that's just true. Dancing and running around the church and speaking in tongues will not save you. Has nothing to do with your salvation whatsoever. Religious activity, charitable work is not going to save you. None of it. Simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, will save your soul from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell, and will give you a home in heaven. It is a free gift, the free gift of salvation. So trust Christ as your Savior tonight before it is eternally too late. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer, a little simple prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, and God will save you today, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Follow me in prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner and that I have done evil in your sight, for I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have coveted after people and things. I have lusted after people and things. I have lied before in your sight. I have stolen things before, including ink pens from the job, post-it notes. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents at times. I have taken your holy name in vain, and I've committed many other sins and broken other commandments. And I understand that I deserve eternal hell for breaking these commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of my sins. Wash my sins away in the blood of Christ. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that he suffered and he bled and died on the cross for my sins as the sacrificial Lamb of God. That he was buried and he rose again on the third day and ascended back to heaven with you, and is sitting at your right hand right now. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. I know I don't deserve it, but I thank you for your mercy, love, and grace, and thank you for saving my soul from the hell I deserve. Holy Father God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com or any of our other outlets that may be on the site you're on right now. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.